Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, the 27th of March, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We welcome you into hour number two of the big show. Have a guest here coming up, Mr. Zommers, in about 10 minutes or so. At quarter after the hour, after the 15-minute break, we have Matt DeFore, the State Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Watch, in with an important story. I read this over the weekend, because a lot of people talk about, well, there's voter fraud. Well, the voting system isn't working in Wisconsin. And usually, it's trying to score political points. Nobody's really actually trying to get to the problem. And nothing's ever done or solved. But here you have a great investigative reporter like Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch. Had an article this weekend reporting called Dane County Election Review Finds Dozens of Ineligible Voters Who Cast Ballots. We're going to find out who those voters are, why this is, and it turns out, yes, there are a handful of people that are voting that legally should not be, but there's also people who should legally be able to vote who aren't. Going to sort this out. And the good news is there might actually be a bipartisan solution. Maybe. Finally, some good news, right?
From what I read, it seems like it's a pretty easy thing to fix, and that it also is something that if, you know, we're spending all this money and time on researching, investigating an election to see if there was fraud, you'd think we would have found this?
You would have thought, right? But $2 million of tax money, you would have thought Gableman would have found this.
That would have involved actually looking.
And thinking.
The two of which, these things can be very difficult.
Right. But a great thinker, a great reporter, Matt DeFore. We're happy he's going to join us in studio here live in just a few minutes. Here's your weather and news headlines for this Monday, the 27th of March, 2023. Richland Center, WRCE, Southwest Wisconsin, your forecast for today. Increasing clouds, a high of 48. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 23. And tomorrow, Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high of 47. Up in Bull Falls, Radioland, WXCO in Wausau for today, mostly sunny skies, a high of 42. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 21. And tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and a high of 38. Over in WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory, Wisconsin, increasing clouds today, a high of 40 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 15. And tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and a high of 33 up in Amory. Headlines this morning, more than 20 million people across the South and Southeast are under threats of severe storms today, including major cities such as Houston and New Orleans. This comes as communities across the region are already working to rebuild following a weekend of intense storms and destructive tornadoes that left more than 24 people dead. Mississippi was especially hard hit, with at least 25 people killed and dozens injured, prompting President Joe Biden to approve disaster declarations for parts of the state. Over in Israel, mass protests are underway in Israel after thousands of people took to the streets yesterday in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem amid a worsening political crisis in the country. The demonstrations were sparked by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's decision to fire the defense minister after he spoke out against the government's controversial plan to overhaul the country's judicial system. First Citizens Bank is buying most of the business of Silicon Valley Bank, the tech lender that failed earlier this month. 17 former branches of SVB will open as First Citizens outlets today, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation said in a statement last night. The bank will buy all of SVB's deposits and loans that regulators have transferred to a bridge bank in the wake of the collapse. And over in Ukraine, amid the ongoing war in Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin said Moscow plans to station tactical nuclear weapons in neighboring Belarus. Putin has been warning of the increasing threat of nuclear war for several months, rhetoric that NATO calls dangerous and irresponsible. Coming up next and after the break, going to bring in Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch. Great article called Dane County Election Review Finds Dozens of Ineligible Voters Who Cast Votes. Here's the opening lines. In 2015, Mark Wake was in a serious motorcycle crash that put him in the hospital for more than 10 months with a severe brain injury. Quote, "I lost half my head," unquote, he told Wisconsin Watch. He also lost his voting rights when Dane County judges placed him under a temporary guardianship. The county's register in probate sent that information to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which added Wake's name and Madison address to a list that contains more than 22,000 who have been adjudicated incompetent to vote in Wisconsin. The system is designed to promote mental incapacitated people from having someone else fill out their ballot. But after Wake recovered, he said the guardianship was lifted, although no court records show his voting rights were restored, an additional step he apparently didn't take at the time. We'll come back and hear the rest of his story, find out who should be voting, who can't, who is voting that shouldn't, and what can be done about it. We'll sort all this out with Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch when we come back and have a great discussion on it. Looking forward to that. Stay with us. That, your phone calls later on in the hour. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Media Radio Network. It is 15 past the hour of 9 o'clock. Mr. Zommers, I'm going to have you come in the studio here because we're having technical difficulties here. So if you want to come in and help us, because Mr. DeFore's microphone is not working. So the computer mic is still on. So that's what we need help with.
What about right now?
I don't know. Matt, welcome. Welcome to our disoriented show.
Hey.
Is that working okay now?
It sounds like it's working.
All right. Very good. Because can you hear him okay, Aaron?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Matt DeFore, sorry for all the hubbub there. Welcome into the show.
Great to have. Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Well, we try. We try our best. It's a crazy world here. Matt DeFore, who is the State Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Watch. And first of all, for those that might not be familiar, tell our fine audience what Wisconsin Watch is and what you folks do, if you'd be so very kind.
Wisconsin Watch is the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We've been around for about 14 years, but only in the last 6 months have we had a State House Bureau. We do nonprofit, nonpartisan investigative journalism, and the hits just keep coming for us. So,
well, that's fantastic. How long have you been with the organization?
So I was brought on board last September just to sort of start up this new State House Bureau, where we are getting more into the Capitol, looking more at statewide issues. We've been doing stuff on environmental issues and clean drinking water and all that stuff. But this is actually getting more into some of those political issues that seem to confound people in the state capitol so often. So
yeah, it's what I love about this. We talked about we read the kind of the opening couple of paragraphs before we went to commercial to tease this a little bit. What I love about this, Matt, is whatever people think, and I'm not trying to drag you into the political side of this, but I'll just simply say this. Yeah, former Justice Mike Gabelman spent $2 million of taxpayer money in over a year to find out whether or not there was quote-unquote voter fraud in the state, and basically came up with a big nothing burger because, of course, he went at this from a political point of view, trying to prove something that the Wisconsin 2020 election was a fraud, which, of course, we all know it was not. It was a legitimate election. You, through your investigative and journalism skills, and this is a great example of why we need real people, real journalists to dig into this stuff. You came up with the truth here. And what you found, I think, was amazing. And tell us the premise. What led you to do this report?
Well, I think the Gabelman investigation, it, obviously very flawed, but they found some nuggets. And I think they took them in directions that were kind of just disappointingly disgraceful in how you know, they were parading all these people who clearly had cognitive disabilities, and we were trying to portray this as some kind of thing where nursing homes were somehow, you know, stealing the votes of people. And that's just not, they didn't have the evidence to prove that. They had sort of circumstantial things. And we wanted to get to the truth of what's actually happening. Part of the problem with the Gableman investigation was that they were conflating guardianships with not being able to vote. There are people in this state who are under guardianships, meaning, you know, they're a ward of somebody because they have some kind of, maybe it's dementia or something, but they don't always have the right to vote taken away. And right. So first of all, you got to focus on only those people. Now, what he did find a couple examples where there was somebody who had their right to vote taken away by a court, and somehow they were still able to vote after that happened. And because he found a couple examples of that, I was curious, well, how big of an issue is this?
Mm.
And so his investigators have continued to push this issue. They, at one point last fall, claimed that there might be 15,000 votes that were, 15,000 people that may have had been in the situation. And that struck me as being wildly inaccurate.
Yeah.
And so what we did last fall is we started looking into these cases, and I talked to Scott McDonald at Dane County. He did a sample of the 1,000 people in Dane County whose they're listed in there's a statewide list of people who are adjudicated incompetent to vote. Again, not guardianship, but specifically they aren't allowed to vote. And of those 1,000 in Dane County, he did a sample of 20, and he found two cases there, one who was still registered and one who had actually voted after being adjudicated. And so he, based on that, you know, that was somewhat surprising and startling. So he went through the entire list of 1,000, his office did. And that's where this story comes in, which is sort of reporting what he found and at this point, basically what we know about the situation. So
that's a great background. And so you start out with an example here of Mark Wake, who sounds like underwent a very traumatic surgical quote, "I lost half my head."
Right.
I mean, that's a way to grab people's attention when you have somebody you're interviewing and they start that way.
Well, and it's interesting that he also lost his right to vote.
Right.
And so again, he was put under a temporary guardianship, and as part of that process, he lost his right to vote. But the guardianship was taken away. Now, according to there's a little issue here with some privacy in these records, so we had to be careful. I wanted to make sure that I talked to the people rather than just using names without getting their permission. But so I did talk to Mark Wake, and it looks like he never intended to not have that right to vote after his guardianship was lifted. Mm-hmm. But there was some kind of a process he was supposed to go through to get his voting rights back that he did. You know, again, apparently, that's as far as we can tell from the courts so far, he didn't get that right back, and he yet was still somehow able to vote. Why? Well, it turns out the state's system for keeping track of people who are adjudicated incompetent to vote has some cracks in it, has some holes. And so while not everybody might be falling through these cracks, some people are. And what Mark's situation points to is, you know, he goes from, okay, you can't vote, but now you're no longer in guardianship. You don't realize that. You're perfectly capable of voting.
Right.
You go into the Poinette Village clerk's office to vote in 2018, and there's no list there that tells them this person's on the statewide list of adjudicated incompetent voters. So there's no mechanism there telling them to keep him from registering at that time. And so the story points out in Dane County, there was like 95 examples of people in the situation. And it's just helping further explain the situation that Gableman has raised so many concerns about, that people are now thinking, oh, people in nursing homes are illegally voting. It's like, no, that's not what's happening. Here's more of an explainer of what some of these situations actually are and what needs to happen at the state level to fix it.
So let's talk about this nursing home issue, because I found this very fascinating. My maternal grandmother spent her last 7-8 years in a nursing home. And so she had her mental capacity right up until basically the day she died. And so oftentimes she got to the point where she couldn't go to the polls anymore physically. And so they would bring the ballot to her and she would fill it out. what you just described on the Republican side, basically, I shouldn't say Republican side, but what Kelly, or pardon me, what Doug Gableman basically tried to blow up is, oh my gosh, we have all these people in nursing homes. They're, you know, just laying there essentially vegetables, and they don't know what's going on. And we have all these people working in nursing homes that are filling out these ballots for them, you know, illegally, and sending them in. That's basically what he tried to get people to believe. That doesn't appear to be it doesn't appear to be nearly that egregious or that rampant. Am I correct?
You are correct, and the idea that you've described, I mean, I know it's rampant. You can hear conservatives will bring it up all the time. Donald Trump brought it up. That was sort of like one of the main conspiracies about Wisconsin. The truth is that not everybody in a nursing home is ineligible to vote. Not everyone is even under a guardianship. And some of those who are under guardianship may still have the right to vote. And so when Gableman, he had like a list, he had like a dozen people he listed in his report. He didn't name them, but he had, you know, person A is in this nursing home and they voted. Many of those cases, they did not lose their voting rights. And he had a few cases, I think there were maybe even four total in his report. And two of those four, we were able to find out, didn't even lose their voting rights. So it was like, it's like he had a couple examples. And it's been conflated in this idea. I think the other thing that was interesting, I think the Wisconsin State Journal did a story about how his numbers were wrong. He was trying to claim that like 100% of the people in nursing homes were voting. That's just not true. If you go back to the poll books, it's not 100%. It's actually a fairly normal, some cases 35, some cases 75, in a couple cases 100. But even when you have eight people in a nursing home and they all vote, it's like, okay, they're what else are they going to do on a cold day in November? So anyway, so the point is that there is not some conspiracy. I can't tell you definitively that there's not some unscrupulous nursing home administrator taking advantage of somebody somewhere. I don't know that. That's not what this story disproves. I mean, it's kind of like, how do you prove a negative that's saying there's nothing, like none of that's happening. Right. But it's not happening on a, it's not, it, first of all, the numbers we're talking about with this story are not going to impact the results of an election. It is more of a, it is a record-keeping thing that the state needs to address so that we have a clean system, so that you can't have in future elections a couple cases get conflated into this, you know, conspiracy theory. I think that's the bigger issue.
I want to touch on one more thing before we move on to that in the nursing home. Did I read this story right, and correct me if I'm wrong, in that you found out in your reporting and talking to some nursing home personnel that they're required to have a certain percentage of people that vote or something in order to keep their nursing home license? Explain that to me, please.
This was something that was in the story in October, but I think it's very important in this debate. What happened in 2020 was highly unusual in that we had COVID.
Right.
And because of COVID, nursing homes weren't letting anybody into their facilities. And specifically in the case of special voting deputies, many were turning them away. Not all of them, but some of them were turning them away. And so the Wisconsin Elections Commission said, okay, well, because of COVID, we're going to waive the requirement that we send these people into the nursing homes.
Right.
And as a result of that, Disability Rights Wisconsin, I talked to their folks, they were contacting nursing homes and saying, make sure people get to vote because your Medicare and Medicaid funding, part of that is dependent on you making sure they have access to the ballot. And I can imagine, again, I don't, you know, this gets a little in more into speculation, but it would seem logical that nursing home administrators who probably care more about their funding than getting an extra vote on election day are thinking, oh, shoot, we got to make sure these people vote. And so they're sending their, rather than having a special voting deputy go through the process, they're having their staff go through, you know, to every person. And if somebody in like what we showed in this story, if somebody is on that adjudicated incompetent list, but the local clerk did not catch that, there's a chance that the nurse, when they come by, they, oh, here's your absentee ballot, fill it out, great. You know, again, is that nurse forcing them to do it, or are they just providing it and the person just fills it out because they're there? It's probably the latter. And that's how it happens. And then that person is on that list, and that person's family might know that. And that's where you get all these families complaining, as we've seen. My relative voted. This is what's going on here. Because I think those legitimate concerns are what created the buzz, especially in conservative media, about this issue, is that there were real situations where people were like, my parents shouldn't be able to vote. How did they? I think we answered the question as to how with this story.
You certainly did. Thank you for clearing that up. Matt DeFore, the State Bureau Chief from Wisconsin Watch, is our guest. When we come back, Matt, I want to go into this other part that, again, while there are cases, you found legitimate cases where people are voting that legally, technically shouldn't, there are also people that should be voting that aren't able to when they get to the poll. And this is not some sort of a widespread, rampant thing with our election problem, basically. I mean, is that, am I correct in the short, long and short of it is?
Sure.
We'll come back and break it down.
I'm
a little bit tight on time here, so I don't want to get into too long of a debate. But what the point that I found fascinating, the takeaway is, we don't have, there aren't enough votes that are swinging elections. They're across the state of Wisconsin statewide.
That's right.
We'll come back and talk about more with Matt DeFore. Stay with us here on the Todd Oddball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Oddball Show, it is now 9:33. We have the boss, Matt DeFore, from Wisconsin Watch. It is our guest this hour. Matt DeFore, welcome in. You were telling us during the break you saw the boss recently, Bruce Springsteen.
I did at Pfizer. That was awesome. It's a great show.
I can only imagine. I saw him like 20 years ago, and it sounds like he's still getting it done.
He's getting it done in ways that like shouldn't be physically possible too. I mean, it was
because you know I'm 53 and he's older than me.
He's 20 years older than me. So
I don't think I could do a 3-hour concert.
No,
even if I was musically gifted,
I can't. And but it was, you just never know. He's not going to announce his final tour. He's just going to drop at some point and. You know,
just say that was it.
Yeah, and you say you don't
an Irish goodbye.
That could be for him though.
Yeah. Right. I love it. That's fantastic. Some great reporting from Matt DeFore in the latest edition of Wisconsin Watch. You can read the entire column at wisconsinwatch.org. That is wisconsinwatch.org. Organization does a great job telling it straight down the middle. No political bent to this, just the facts, the truth. That's exactly what we love, which we appreciate. Known Matt for a long time when I worked at the state capitol, worked for the state journal before this, and now at Wisconsin Watch as the state bureau chief. Matt, I want to get into this report that you did on voting. We talked a little bit before the break that you found these examples kind of based on, I shouldn't say based, but former Justice Gableman in his I'll call it ill-advised. He had a political bent. He was trying to prove somehow that the Wisconsin vote in 2020 was rigged and it wasn't legitimate, which everybody under the sun has proven is just simply wrong. That it was not in Wisconsin, not just Wisconsin, but across the nation. Major Garrett from CBS News actually wrote a book on it that I'm halfway through called The Big Truth, which he says that 2020 was probably the most legitimate, well-done election in our country's history. And so you kind of took that and said, well, hey, let's take a couple of these things you raised and let's look at this, which you did. And essentially, if I have the number right, in Dane County, which is where our capital, Madison, is located, you found 95 people essentially that were maybe should not have had their been able to vote that were. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is Dane County did a review where they took every single person who had a Dane County address when they were adjudicated, or I think it's Dane County did this review of 1,000 people from a statewide list that includes about 22,000 names.
So out of 22,000, 95.
In the around 22,000, I think it's 377 around the state. 95 of 1,000 in Dane County.
All right.
So if you want to do the math, you could maybe it could be that there are hundreds. It could be it could be maybe as many as 2,000 statewide. Still not going to affect an election. But what these folks are people who a court said you don't have the right to vote because you have some kind of cognitive disability or some kind of mental issue. We've taken away that right and we've sent your information to the state. They've entered your name in this list that they keep track of. Not everybody on that list has ever registered to vote. Some people have never. In fact, maybe about half have never registered based on the Dane County review. Many on that list are correctly listed now as deceased or inactive because the clerk. What happens is the local clerk's got to go to that list and say, oh, so-and-so, they've been registered to vote for 20 years. Now they have dementia. Okay, I'm going to now deactivate their registration. And so when Dane County looked at this list of just their voters, 1,000 people, they found 95 examples where the person had been adjudicated, entered into the list, after that date they voted. How? That's what the story tries to answer. So,
and to get to it, the way that they voted seems to be, I guess one of the takeaways for me is this is not an egregious, intentional, oh, I'm going to vote even though I know I shouldn't. It seems to be more garbled communication between the courts and the state and the locals.
Yeah, it's the local clerk who's got to go into the system, like I explained. They've got to know to go into the system and see the person's name and match it up with the voter record. So here's a couple ways that this thing fell apart. One is when that name is entered by the WEC, they might have entered their data wrong. There was one case where the person's birth date was the exact same day as their adjudication of incompetency.
Wow.
So you can just imagine somebody, some poor typist, you know, putting in the birth date, and then they accidentally put in the birth date the same date as the date of incompetency. Mm-hmm. And so what that does to the local election clerk when they're looking at that list from the state is this the same person? They don't have the same birth date. Are you going to really strip someone's voting rights away? So that's right. One way it gets missed. But then if the clerk doesn't even check, let's say the person in the case of Mark Wake, we talked about him earlier, he goes to Poinette. Poinette doesn't have any kind of list that they're looking at for people from Madison for adjudicated incompetent or for, you know, like, for example, they might have a felons list that they look at, but it's just the people from Poinette. So when you have these people moving to different cities, that might get missed. And there's a couple other examples, but I think there also is a bigger issue is that some of these people intend to vote because, for example, they either didn't know they had their voting rights taken away. In Mark Wake's case, he thought he had them restored, but he may not have taken that extra step to do that. And so, you know, this thing gets so sticky that, like, these people are actually voting and they should be able to vote. They're one person, they get to vote. The only reason that they're showing up on this list is because there is some kind of either a clerical error or maybe an error on their part in not getting their voting rights restored. And so that could potentially lead to some issues. We wanted to get the story out before the election because there may be more people in that situation. As they clean up this list now, they might find more people like Mark Wake. Like, we talked to a family of a guy named Frank Wallach, who he's voted 16 times since his adjudication. And the reason why he keeps getting missed is because his parents never meant for him to lose his voting rights. So when they went to the clerk's office to register him to vote, you know, again, why would you think that person's not supposed to be able to vote? And he keeps voting, but he's on the list. So it's a cleanup issue. They need to figure that out.
You talked to clean this up. And again, my mom, you know, retired teacher back in Richland Center, and she worked the polls for years and years. And most of the people working at our polls now are a lot of retired folks, a lot of former teachers, a lot of former, police officers or whatever, and they're retired. They're just helping out their community. And I don't think people understand, if you've never done it or if you haven't really sat there all day and watched it, the everything they go through to be a poll worker. And then the local clerks now have to oversee this. And, you know, this is just another thing that they have to look at. It seems there's a disconnect. There should be a way to make it easier for the local clerks via the Wisconsin Election Commission. You talked to, which I didn't know until I read this story, our old friend Joel Despain is now with the Wisconsin Election Commission.
Right, yeah.
And what did you find out from Joel and the Wisconsin Election Commission?
So the Elections Commission is reviewing this list of 22,000 names to make sure it's accurate. But even if it's accurate, it doesn't. There is no in state law. It says that the clerk of court or the courts basically have to notify the local clerks about these people who are adjudicated incompetent, but it doesn't specify how that information gets from point A to point B. And it turns out there's like point C, D, E, and F right now under a system that was set up by the court system in 2008. The local register and probate sends a form to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They enter it into this list, and then the clerk's got to check the list. And if you can just imagine, there's data entry that can go wrong there.
Right.
There's the local clerk just doesn't check. Or like we already said, there may be discrepancies in like the address or the date of birth. And they just, if you're a local clerk, your job's not to try to pick off as many people from the voting list as possible. You want people to be able to vote. And you're probably going to err on the side of, well, we don't want to disenfranchise somebody incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a cleanup issue, but if the state were to, if the legislature were to pass a law that would look at how can we just specify how this information is supposed to be transmitted, then there's less likelihood that the clerk's going to just not bother checking, or, you know, maybe the information is specific, like, you know, you've got to email this specific form. Because there are some clerks who don't even send the information into the Elections Commission because they're worried about privacy for the people under guardianship. So it's just, there's some gaps in the system.
And that's an important point, I think, is that there's this issue of privacy. And in today's society where everybody's so happy, again, I think if you're a local clerk in Richland County or Marathon County or Barron County, you're just trying to keep the peace and you don't have money to get sued. And it's like, I don't want to violate anybody's privacy here because, again, everything's kind of fuzzed up. And so, again, there's no, in my reading your story from what I'm taking away, there's no egregious wrongdoing here. Nobody's trying to get around the system or have people that vote that shouldn't or deny people. It seems to be, again, a disconnect.
That's right. And I mean, the idea that there's some kind of conspiracy is just not proven, and the more we look into it, the less proven it is. the more proven the opposite is, that it really is any kind of system where you're dealing with data input and, you know, again, court systems and election systems, there's always the potential, and the numbers are not huge. I mean, this is the other important point, is that we're doing stories on this because Gableman raised these issues and he found a couple cases, and we want to be able to tell people, okay, yeah, there's a reason. There's an explanation for that. There's a perfectly reasonable explanation, and that's what the story's trying to do. So
you found some what I think was so rare today. You found maybe a glimmer of bipartisanship here. You actually talked to State Representative Scott Krug, Republican of Nakusa. Of course, some of our we actually have a station up in Wisconsin Rapids, up in that area as well. He's the chair of the Assembly Committee on Campaigns Election. I'm reading from your story now. It said improving the system for tracking those adjudicated incompetent was one of the top issues he raised by the Wisconsin County Clerks Association in a recent meeting. He said he expects to work with the WEC, which is the Wisconsin Election Commission, county clerks, Democratic lawmakers, and the governor's office to find a bipartisan solution. Wait a minute, the word bipartisan. Is it actually possible to get something done, Matt? Enlighten us.
You know, this is one of those things that it should not be rocket science or even partisan politics to get something done on this, because it really is a system's got holes, you know, let's fix it, and not, you know, fixing it benefits one side or the other or disenfranchises people. As long as you're doing it well and letting people know what you're doing. I mean, there were a lot of bills last session on the election front. I think Janelle Branchon was the in Representative Krug's position. And so that didn't maybe help matters that she was kind of part of Team Gableman. But just, again, from the standpoint of, you know, a credible, just bipartisan attempt to fix issues in the election system. I think there was a bill that Republicans liked. I think Senator Lemahue had a bill that would have allowed them to start counting absentee ballots early, like a day early. And, you know, that got wrapped up in sort of these omnibus election bills where they're trying to get 100 things done and maybe, you know, 50 of them have bipartisan buy-in, but the others, some, you know, either Evers or some, you know, Democrats are just are kind of partisan things. If they were to do these bills individually, I'm sure that they could get some things like this done pretty. I mean, you know, Scott McDonald is saying this needs to be fixed. WEC is saying it needs to be fixed. Representative Krug is saying that. So it seems like it's just this is almost a bread and butter kind of issue. It's not a partisan politics issue.
I give Representative Krug a lot of credit because it's pretty easy in today's hyper-political world just to continue to harp on, you know, political points. Here's a guy on the Republican side of the aisle, Scott Krug, who is saying, look, this we need to bring some common sense and work together on that. So I give him a lot of credit for that. And I hope that the Democrats will meet him halfway and the governor will work with him as well. Because it seems to me we just need, for lack of a better term, a better computerized registry with the Wisconsin Election Commission that these local clerks can just kind of go to and run their local list through and say, okay, well, let's just update it. Yeah. Is that a very simplistic way to look at it, or is that overly simplistic?
I think that's what it is. Again, the fact that there are court officials who are mailing in, not emailing, mailing in these forms in some cases, and that there are others are emailing them PDFs, and some are not doing it at all. That's because there's no law saying, here's what you're supposed to do with this information. Here's how you're supposed to get it to the local election official.
I mean, we're going to do a story later on, in our third hour here, for goodness sake, Panera now has this system where you can run your handprint across the and check out with your handprint. I mean, if Panera can figure this out to order a sandwich, you would think that we could figure out how to protect our voting rights and streamline this at the state level.
Right.
So, I mean, but that's to me, that's the sunshine in this story here, is, or the, one of the bright factors, is that there appears to be some positivity to it. Where do you see it going from here? Have you talked to anybody on the Democratic side or the governor's office? Do they seem open to this?
I'm kind of curious to see. There's a bill that's in the works, according to Representative Krug. So we'll see how that develops in terms of co-sponsors. But the story is definitely not over yet. We want to see this through to the end.
We'll come back, wrap things up with Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch. After this, you're on the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Monday Jams with Matt DeFore, also known as the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch. He is the State Bureau Chief for the all-important Wisconsin Watch. If you want to read his story, and I highly encourage you to sit down and do it. Not like a half an hour read, but it's a nice piece, and it will make you enlightened and understand. What one of the things I really want to do on this show is, again, to get to the truth, cut through the BS on the political side and just say, hey, here are the facts, basically. This story is exactly the kind of thing that we want to do. You can read it at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Matt DeFore, the author, is here talking about this voter rights issue, voter accessibility issue, particularly for those who have been found adjudicated incompetent, which is just a fancy way of saying the court said you're not mentally competent to vote. Am I right?
Basically, yeah.
So, There was a judge, I've said this before on the show, a judge, I worked for a lawyer for a time, and a federal judge from Tennessee. And my boss, before the jury came out, wanted to use more simplistic language. And Judge Weissman said, you want to put it down there where the chickens could get at it. Is that it, Mr. Gold? All right, go ahead. So, I mean, we're just trying to put it down there where the chickens could get at it. And to that degree, Matt, a lot of reason this story is important. As the author, as the reporter, as the person that went through this, if you were telling the average person in Richland Center, Amory, Wausau, or across the state why this story matters, what would you tell them?
So, and first, I want to give a shout out to the Wisconsin State Journal, which picked it up and put it on their front page today, so you can read
Congrats.
It there as well. This story is important because we do want our voting system to be as secure and as accurate as possible. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. And I think that's why you had a Democratic county clerk, Scott McDonnell, work with us on this. At the same time that you have Republicans like Ron Hoyer, who worked on the Gableman investigation, also working on these issues. We all agree that we want the voting system to be secure. And I think what I don't want to get lost in this is that if you have a situation where there are people on a statewide list, that is, these people are ineligible to vote, and they are then voting, even if it's only a few hundred people, unscrupulous actors in future elections could take those examples and conflate them into there's a conspiracy or there's something right. going on or there's something much bigger. And that's what did happen actually in 2020 yeah. with these exact cases. And so we want to make sure going forward that this gets fixed. So I think if you are in the legislature and you are not interested in fixing this issue, it's because you are in favor of the kind of chaos we saw after 2020. Mm-hmm. And I think that's disappointing. So it's an easy thing. We do want to make sure people's voices are heard and that it gets fixed in the right way. But there's no question that there are people on a statewide list who they're supposedly not allowed to vote, and they voted, and that, even if it's a small number, even if it doesn't affect elections, it still needs to be fixed.
You're so right on that. And we've talked about this on this program before, that these TV ads, and it happens on both sides, to be fair, but they take what could be a sliver of something based in a fact, and then they inflate it into, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so was allowed to vote, and they were on a list they shouldn't have been. You know, this is why we have to elect so-and-so, because there's rampant, you know, misgoings-ons across the state. And people get, oh, well, they gave us an example. It must be true. And yes, your story illustrates, yes, there are a handful of examples. But to be clear, none of what you're reporting uncovers here is enough to overturn or change the outcome of any state, congressional, I would say even a state election as far as assembly or a Senate race, maybe in a local a school board election, maybe.
Well, remember, we found 95 people in Dane County, and that's more than 300 votes cast by those 95 people over the last 15 years.
Right.
So, exactly. Again, it's not even that many votes in one election. It's more a matter of here's a little bit of these holes in the system need to be plugged.
It's a great story. And I think, you know, our owner, our main owner, Sage Weil, said this recently. We are in such need of local journalism, of people on the ground in our communities who are ferreting out the truth. And you're a great example of a great reporter, Wisconsin Watch, a great organization who is doing that. And I thank you for your work. And I encourage our listeners to go to Wisconsin Watch. That's Wisconsin, WATCH, all together, wisconsinwatch.org. Check it out. Or you check it out in the Wisconsin State Journal on the front page. Look at that. Matt DeFore still getting front page stories in the Wisconsin State Journal.
I've actually had more bylines in the State Journal in the last 6 months than I've had in the last 4 years as an really? Editor there. So really? I keep pointing that out, like, hey, it's a good deal.
Good deal for you. Anything else you want to add on this story?
There was one other thing, but I forget what it was.
Oh, that's fine. I talked too much. Wisconsin Supreme Court state Supreme Court race coming up a week from tomorrow. I know you guys are working on a couple of stories. Do you want to enlighten us, give us a preview of what might be coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at things like advertising. We did an analysis of all of the ads that have come out, at least I think in the first half of the general election, just to kind of get a flavor of where the money's being spent, what the messaging is. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the campaign finance side. Who are the people spending gobs of cash, especially from out of state, on both campaigns? Well, Purtis Awitz is getting just tons of these donations from 20,000 max donations from out of state. You know, again, I think that whole race is clearly turning on the abortion issue. And to a slightly lesser degree, your favorite topic, redistricting and gerrymandering.
Right.
part of one of our stories is looking at, you know, I feel like every news story of that race is like, it's elections about abortion, redistricting, gerrymandering, and a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And so I did a story that's trying to look at, well, wait, what is all the other stuff? And so it kind of breaks down all the, it's more of a breakdown of like when we hear the term liberal activist or, you know, right wing, you know, whatever people are saying about Kelly as being like just a right wing extremist. What do they mean by that? What kinds of cases and decisions sort of reflect that? And so, yeah.
Well, we had a caller last week who we take all callers, we appreciate them, and just said, well, I'm voting for Kelly because, you know, I don't want what's going on in San Francisco. I'm like, well, what is going on in San Francisco? You know, I don't want, you know, wokeness. Well, what is a wokeness? And I think people on the right have a hard time defining. They hear all this rhetoric, but they don't actually, they can't define it. At least they don't want to on the air.
I mean, I think it's a pretty clear choice in the election. I remember, you know, decades ago, the complaint was there was no real choice in elections, so why bother participating? I feel like we are actually getting choices these days.
Absolutely.
So while I think Purtis Awitz has pretty much come as close as you can say that she's going she would overturn the 1849 abortion ban without actually saying it.
Right.
And Kelly, you know, if you believe that he's open-minded on that, I mean, I guess you're entitled to your opinion. So
good luck with that.
Yeah.
I really hope that this does gin people up to vote. And I've said, look, I certainly have my opinion, but I hope that however people are going to vote, they get out and exercise democracy.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Matt DeFore, Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Watch. Thank you, my friend. Check out his article at wisconsinwatch.org. Stay with us. Hour number 3 on the big show is coming up next. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.